Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I move that the Senate resolve itself back into committee of the whole to continue discussion on the budget bill, Senate File 1. And if one of the colleagues from Sweetwater County would come up and take over as chairman of the committee of the whole, I'd appreciate it.
Okay, thank you. You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carried. Senator Hastert in place of Senator Rothfuss, until Senator Rothfuss can show up.
He had bills to present.
That's fine. We'll just keep moving.
Okay. Do you have where we're at? Okay, the Committee of the Whole come back to order for the budget bill, Senate File 1. The next section is 345, Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move section 345, contingent appropriations from investment earnings derived in fiscal year 2015, and yield to Senator Burns.
Senator Burns.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, you and the body be happy to know this is the largest section left on the budget, and I was trying to figure out how quickly or slowly to go through this, and I think I will try to go through this relatively quickly. If anybody has questions about any particular item on the list, maybe the thing to do is wait till the end. But so anyway, Mr. Chairman, we've all heard about the tranches, and this is the second tranche. This is one-time spending from one-time money predicted or hoped that we get. That's why it's called contingent upon money earned, being earned actually right now for this past year up to June 30th of this year. So one of the concerns expressed, and it's a good concern, about contingent money is, what if there's a crash? Well, right now we've got about 3.5 months before we really have to worry about that as far as this money goes. So without further ado, Mr. Chairman, the only other thing to say about it is that these items are the list in the priority list and the order in which the Joint Appropriations Committee agreed to put these items, and that if we don't get enough money, and that money is $112,655,247, and if we don't get enough of that money, then this list from 2015 moves over into the 2016 list below item number 2. So the Capital Rehabilitation Restoration Account and the Surface Transportation Passing Lanes will still be the highest priority. So the next items unpaid on the second tranche would become item number 3, 4, and so forth, respectively, in the third tranche, 2016. Mr. Chairman, if you would like to turn to page 122 of your bill, this is the list of the items, and I'll just go through them quickly. The first one, which it is every year, is the Capital Building Rehabilitation and Restoration Account for $37,500,000. I think we've had plenty of explanation about that. And one other thing I'd like to add, Mr. Chairman, is if you look at a number of these items, you'll see a little letter attached to it. For instance, on that one, it's A, and after the list, starting on page 124, there's further explanation about that particular appropriation about it. So, for instance, on this one it says, funds from this appropriation shall be deposited into the Capital Building Rehabilitation and Restoration Account created by, and then there's a citation. So I'm not going to refer to those footnotes every time, but if you have a question before you want to ask that question, you may want to go to that footnote. It might have the answer to your question. Mr. Chairman, the next item is $2.4 million for the Gillette Madison project. I believe that is going to be the final payment for that long, long, expensive project, and that we'll be glad to see the back end of. Number three is $6.4 million for cease and transfer account. That's the landfills. Number four is the university athletic competitiveness. That's $4 million. That is to be matched by private funds. And that is, I don't think that's been referred to, so I'll explain it a little bit. The NCAA has relaxed its rules as far as recruiting goes. And so all the universities in the nation are now competing, are allowed to compete even more for the athletes they're recruiting, including being able now to fly their families in and so forth. That's what this $4 million is for, to be able to make us more competitive in terms of recruiting athletes. Number five is the university literacy matching funds. That was the initiative started by the First Lady. And again, it has to be matched for these funds to be released. Next, if you look to the left of each of these items, you see a number. In that case, it's 067. That is the agency number, so it would be the University of Wyoming. And so, therefore, if you want a corresponding place on the cheat sheet, it would be page 13. The next item, number six.
Yep. Microphone.
My apologies. Senator Burns, shall we take questions along the way, or would you like to take questions at the end?
Mr. Chairman, in the interest of time, I'd rather be able to go through the list.
Fine.
Otherwise, we'll be here all afternoon, frankly.
Well, in the interest of that, let's do it.
But
your way.
But, Mr. Chairman, you're the chairman. It's your choice.
Senator Burns, it sounds great to me. Let's go on.
All right. Thank you. Number six is the University High Altitude Training Center. Again, this is that's $20 million. Again, that's going to require matching funds. Number seven is the University Unconventional Oil and Gas Research. Again, matching funds before the state puts in up to $20 million. Number eight is the University High School Student Summer Assistance. There was some reference to this before, and those of us who went over to the university on for Legislators Day, there was a reference to this. This is where they bring in high school students from around the state for a few days and basically show off the university. One of the where they were talking to us about it was when we were at the planetarium, and apparently it works as a very good, thrifty recruiting tool because the kids get to see the facility and are greatly enthused by it. Number nine, the data center migration. That's for the enterprise technology services. This has to do, again, with the capital rehabilitation, and it's for moving, basically, the data. Number 10 is court technology. This is also for data migration, only with the Supreme Court. This was the result of the a letter from the Supreme Court asking for this money. That's $400,000. Number 11 is Construction Management Flex Contingency. This is a fund that we put in, frankly, every year. It's for A&I for the vagaries of construction costs that they can put where they need to put it. Number 12 is the Northern Wyoming Community College Tech Center Level 2 funding. This is up at Sheridan College. And for it's $270,000 for phase two, basically for the planning and blueprints and so forth for their tech center. Number 13 is the Casper College Visual Arts Remodel and Expansion, again level two. That's $300,000. Number 14 is the University High Bay. This is part of part of level three. Going into construction for it, that's $830,000. Number 15 is the air quality impact system. This is DEQ wants to set up a new system, and impact is actually a can't think of the word where every letter stands for something. Acronym. It stands for Inventory Monitoring Permitting Compliance Tracking. So, in other words, has to do with air compliance studying air compliance. Number 16 is the University Science Initiative Capital Construction, Level 2. That's $3 million. This is for the animal sciences, molecular biology wing of the animal sciences building, and this is for additional space. Number 17 is job training and placement. This, again, is matching funds, $1 million. This is the result. This came from a governor's letter, and it was in recognition of a model that's out there now. It's been very successful, and we'd like to support it and actually spread it into other parts of the state. Number 18 is the university retention compensation. That's $1 million. Number 19 is the Evansville Bridge planning and design. That's for planning and design of a bridge from Evansville into Casper over the North Platte River. It's become a health and safety issue because that entire section of Evansville only has one access to get to anywhere else, frankly, and it involves a railroad crossing. So if there should be some mishap, say with a train on that crossing, the rest of Evansville would be cut off. Priority 20 is the website redesign and interface for the Department of Tourism. That's $588,000. Priority 21 is university additional staffing and operations for maintenance. This is a recurring expense, $375,000. We have put a lot of money, as we all know, into capital construction on all these buildings. This is the accompanying additional personnel and materials we need for maintenance on these buildings. Priority 22 is the university environmental health and safety. This is for positions and equipment, $125,000. And I believe this is to study some of these older buildings have HVAC problems. Number 23 are rural health clinics. And we've had discussion about that before. That's $200,000. Priority 24 is the University Science Initiative programmatic costs, $750,000. We had discussion about this before. This is where we're teaching the teachers to teach a new type in a new way. And frankly, that is one-time funding, because once that gets established, then it becomes self-perpetuating. Priority 25 is the Wyoming Infrastructure Authority. This is for contractual studies, $250,000. 26 is for the WyoLink dispatch consoles, $336,000. We've had this discussion here. I believe the appropriations chairman mentioned this. The WyoLink system is state-of-the-art, but a number of the consoles up in various parts of the state are not compatible with it. And are frankly dated. So once these consoles go in, it'll actually make the entire WyoLink system seamless. Priority 27 is for the university master's in counselor education. This is Casper College, $96,828. Priority 28. Is for the state auditor. This is for the financial reporting system, $945,000, until the state auditor can get a new uniform accounting system consultant, which happens to be 29. Priority 29, that's $150,000. And that will help the auditor's office become more seamless. Priority 30 is renewing our membership in the Energy-Producing States Coalition. That's $20,000. And then finally, priority 31 is the University of Wyoming Jacoby Golf Course. This is $3.2 million. This is to drill a new well and irrigation system for the golf course to get them off city water. Right now, they're irrigating that golf course using potable water. And, Mr. Chairman, now is the time that if nobody has any questions on this, I'll be glad to sit down.
Thank you, Senator. Any questions? Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have three questions. First, have we received a report on the literacy program? I know we put $1 million in that, and it was matched last year. And if so, did that report include the number of people that were served, the descriptors as far as an aggregate of the individuals that were served, as far as whether they were school-age children or people that were 70 years old and needed some literacy training? I'm just curious as to what's going on there. The other one, I think I've got two more, and both of these, to me, they look like they skipped the process that everybody else has to go through, and they're probably part of the round robin. The first one is the Evansville overpass. That seems like something that should go through the Department of Transportation and the Transportation Commission. $500,000 for a study for an overpass or a railroad crossing there. Folks, Goshen County was trying to get an overpass since 1929. We finally got one 2 years ago, so we could actually cross over the railroad tracks in the event of a closure, because the hospital was on one side and a third of the population of the town of Torrington was on the other side. And all you got to do is go to JAC and presto dismissus, or whatever you want to say, you got an overpass.
What do you think of that?
Yeah, right, because, Mr. Chairman, there's a process in this state. It goes to the Department of Transportation, the Transportation Commission. I think that one needs to have a close look. And then another one that's got to have a real close look is the Jacoby Well. We bypass the Water Development Commission and Select Water and this body. Why? You know, there wasn't an emergency. It's not a health and safety factor. It's for hitting golf balls on green grass. So, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Meyer. Senator Wasserberger.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will answer the questions as best as I can, but the university literacy matching funds, that is promoted and led by our chairwoman, who is the First Lady of Wyoming, and there is a 10-member committee, of which I am one, actually, and what that committee is doing is it's actually trying to increase literacy in our preschool students, in our preschool kids. And right now we have hired a reading professor who is, she's on the ball, and she has 10 doctoral students, and they are going out within the state of Wyoming and providing staff development services to not only schools but preschools. And they are busy developing a curriculum for the preschools and giving that curriculum to them, the preschool providers, so that they can teach early literacy to young kids. That's what that does. Next question.
Evansville
Bridge. Evansville, quite frankly, I've actually followed that in the local newspaper, and it's a real issue to that community because their only entrance is the underpass of the interstate, and if that ever gets cut off by a train in some way, then the emergency facilities cannot get to the rest of that town, and it really is a safety issue, and so I think the committee felt fairly strongly that that was very important. And then what was the last one?
Golf course.
Oh. Well, not being a golfer. This is brought to us from leadership in the House. The situation is that the golf course has to pay the city, I think testimony was $40,000 a year for water. They were asking for a well to be drilled, and then also that would be phase one, I believe, and then phase two was a new sprinkler system for the golf course. And as you can see, the committee put it at the bottom of their priorities. So that's kind of an explanation, and I'll leave it to the rest of the committee.
It's a good effort. Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, two questions. If we decide we want to amend something out, is the best form to take the whole thing in the footnote, or does the footnote not matter? We need some advice on that. And then question on the University High Bay. I've heard that referred to any number of times, and I've never heard explained what it is, and would like an explanation of what they're doing.
Thank you, Senator Scott. Senator Ross.
Mr. Chairman, if you wish to take something, I suggest you take the money and the footnote. And that's on the advice of staff. And I'm sorry, I didn't catch the second part of your question. Huh? High Bay. Well, High Bay. Let me.
You wanted to answer?
Yeah.
All right. Pinch hitting, Senator Perkins.
Well, thank you. Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. I forgot to ask for your permission. What the high bay is, as part of the engineering, there are big high bays. You know, big high bays where you take in and you there are buildings. If you think of a bay like where a big truck is worked on or things like that. And so what you do is as you do some of these energy projects and some of these other projects that are going forward in the science initiative and the tier one engineering program, they create high bays where you can build scale models and do these types of that type of research indoors. So they're, think of a big high like service bay with big doors on them and trucks can go in and out and they can build big structures inside of them. And associated with those high bays then is the attendant laboratory space and office space and the other research labs and other things like that that go along with the research associated with that part of the university's institution.
Thank you, Mr. Yeah. Vice President. Senator Wasserberger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just real quick to the good senator from Goshen County. On that literacy, that match has already been met. The money has already been donated to the university, $2.5 million, and it's actually in honor of former governor.
Thank you, Senator Wasserberger. Senator Hicks, next.
Mr. Chairman, just a question on that literacy program, too. I think we appropriated last year in the budget $5 million for an early childhood literacy program that the past president had brought. So are these programs competing with each other, or are they working together, or how is that working?
Senator Meyer up next.
I guess just looking at developing your own curriculum, The experience I have with that was a effort in Goshen County where we thought that we were going to develop our own curriculum. Took a great deal of time over the course of several years. Ended up in basically two schools that can't meet their AYP and haven't done it for such a long time that No Child Left Behind, I think, would probably say that the State Department has to take them over. Frankly, you've got $5 million there with a match. I would hope that with that type of funding, you could probably buy something off the shelf or look what somebody else has done that's already been successful instead of trying to reinvent the wheel. And that's just my suggestion of what my experience was to one of the board members. And I would hope that if we're spending $2.5 million, and I know another board member that's on your board is very, very interested in accountability, and I would hope that you could come back to our body with some semblance of accountability as far as the effectiveness of the money. Now, I don't want to walk down the road where somebody that comes in with matching funds drives I guess what we do on this floor. And it's beginning to look like that in this particular instance, where we've got somebody that's their big thing is literacy. That's all great, but you know, we're spending millions of dollars right now out there for early childhood development. If we can get something to make them have that job do a better job, I'm all for it. But we've got to have some accountability.
Further discussion on Section 345. Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wish to further address this literacy match. The good senator from Campbell County is actually correct. Those funds are already waiting per this this funding. But part of this is what's called a literacy research center, and it focuses on four areas: statewide engagement, which the primary purpose of the what they call the LRCC, which is the Literary Research Center and Clinic, is that services is that of service to the state of Wyoming. Currently, there are partnerships spread across Wyoming, with many more in the development stage. These partnerships include school districts, statewide non-governmental organizations, libraries, child development centers, individual students, teachers, and schools. There's also a component for tutoring students. The center provides free tutoring to children, families, and teachers in the state. This is to accomplish both in-house at the clinic and via video distance technology for those that are unable to come to the Laramie Clinic. It also has advancing educators. The center educates future teachers as well as educators already in the classroom. The center has many existing professional development programs, conferences, and educational opportunities for teachers, librarians, and others to strengthen literacy education at all levels.
Thank you, Senator Ross. Any further discussion on Section 345? Further discussion? Senator Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the UW matches, we've got numbers of them. I'd like kind of one at a time gone through. We've talked about the literacy, if the match funds are there. On the others, what match funds are available already on them, and which ones are we waiting to come on? Do we have some of them fully funded now? And if not, what do we expect timeline? These larger ones may take time.
Senator Ross.
With regard, Mr. Chairman, to the University High Altitude Training Center matching funds, that is a $20 million match, but the matching component of that is $24 million, so it's more than a one-to-one match. Our understanding is those monies are readily available to be matched, and we can go through at length, if you want, all the components of that high altitude training center, but that's the match there. With regard to the unconventional oil and gas research matching funds, I've been in contact. I've received calls from a number of companies that are ready to match that $20 million. So I believe that money will be forthwith coming also.
Mr. Vice President.
Thank you. Just to follow up on the unconventional oil research, what we believe, there are two entities that is interesting. Both with large international interests that have zero interest in Wyoming. They do not have any operations in Wyoming and are so interested in the unconventional research there that they already have committed the combination of those two. I understand it is 13.5, I think 13.5 million is what I remember. And then the representation of the university, there's others who are ready and standing in the wings that will fall shortly behind that.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Any additional discussion on Section 345? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Ross's motion to adopt Section 345, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 345 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next section for our consideration is Section 346. Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 346, contingent appropriations from the investment earnings derived in fiscal year 2016, and yield to Senator Wasserberger.
Thank you, Senator Ross. Senator Wasserberger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And this is column three, what we're calling tranche three, what I prefer to call contingency 2016, which is unforecasted but anticipated investment earnings for fiscal year 2016. And you will find that on page 130, line 16 of the supplemental budget bill. And the language is essentially the same as tranche two or contingency 2015, and it does exactly the same things. We will go down the priority list, and so you can see priority number one is the Capitol complex, and if we make this payment into this fund, I think we just have two more years to go. So, and I think today I looked and there was, I want to say there was $110 million and then $30 million contingency, $140 million in the total fund. So, I mean, we're getting close. And the great thing is we haven't bonded for anything. We're paying it totally out of the state's budget. Priority number two is passing lanes for Highway 59, which is from literally the passing lanes. There would be up to 20 of them between Wright and Douglas. So that runs through Converse and Campbell counties. And I think everyone aware is aware on the floor of the amount of deaths that have incurred on that highway in the last 12 months. And so that was a very high priority for the committee. But also, we also know that Highway 2026 from Casper to Shoshone has a lot of oil traffic and a lot of drilling rigs running into that area. And then what happens is if anything that is not funded in Tranche 2 or Contingency 2015 all goes into underneath priority number two. But as the good senator from Sheridan said, we've only got about 3.5 more months to go before that is actually fully funded, and we're almost there. Priority three is $250,000 for the design of a new research aircraft at the University of Wyoming, and actually we've had this airplane over there for years. It's done a phenomenal amount of research, and this new plane, essentially the design for it would be cutting edge. And it's actually a fairly neat project. Priority number four is $30 million for the UW Science Initiative, and we discussed that in Tranche 2 at great length. And then priority five is $20 million matching funds for community college STEM and technical education. And then priority six is $20 million for a state building in Casper, and we have a number of state agencies in Casper, and we're spending a lot of money for rent, and I think that would be the start of that, trying to address that. We talked, priority number seven is for the Evansville Bridge, and I think it's important that you understand exactly where that is. As I understand it, it runs north across the North Platte. And then the street that runs on the north side of the event center goes all the way down there. That, it's not a state highway. It's a city street. And so to get to that, we're just going to go up over the North Platte and then to that street. And then we've got that exit into Evansville so that we've got some. Right. Yes. Yeah. And it's a safety issue. Priority eight. This is $25 million for the state facilities construction account. And we've got to start trying to replace some of these buildings. Lander was discussed and the condition of the buildings there, but also the state mental hospital in Evanston. And so this is the first appropriation to starting to build those buildings. And I think, according to testimony before the JAC, our buildings aren't in great shape out there. So priority number, and it doesn't state where that money would go. It would be determined at a later date. Priority nine is $3 million for air services enhancement. And, I would turn that over to the good senator from Sheridan to explain that real quick.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Burns.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I thank the good chairman from Campbell County. Many of us are familiar with Air Services Enhancement Fund, Wyoming's the only state in the nation that actually does this. And in discussions with some of the carriers that fly in and out of Wyoming to the various airports, excluding Jackson, the only reason that we're in the game and the only reason that a number of our airports are still getting service at all is because of this air enhancement. Anytime you're trying to recruit business, as was said the other day, there's always a checklist they go through. One of the highest points in their checklist is their reliable air service to that state. And so the air service, air enhancement fund is good for this year. It does not have enough funding for next year. What we would like to do is study the idea of expanding it to a couple of more, to a few more cities, mine being one of them, and another one being Riverton. And they not only serve these communities, they serve the regions in the state.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Wasserberger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Continuing on, priority 10. We know that Corbett Pool is in very bad shape, and actually discussion from the athletic director at the university is that we'll either need to cut the program or do something with that pool, and that's the start of trying to fund it. Priority 11, $100,000 for bike paths in Teton County. Priority 12, $5 million for an industrial park, and we don't know exactly where that would go. My thoughts would be that it would be over in the Red Desert probably. It could be possibly somewhere near Converse County, maybe in the new oil fields that are opening up there, or maybe even in Carbon County. But that was a recommendation from the task force that we set up. Priority 13, $3 million to create a disaster reserve account so that the governor can deal with fires in the summertime. And we've had just a phenomenal year for rain, and we've got a lot of wild lands out there with a lot of dry grass. And the forests are dry, and so we thought we needed to replenish that account. Priority 14, $1 million for the Wyoming Public Television, and that is a matching requirement. And that is not matched at this time that we know of. Priority 15 is $2.5 million for the Wyoming Natural Resource Trust corpus account. And then finally, the last priority was $1.6 million for Jacoby Golf Course, and that is phase two. And so, Mr. Chairman, I stand for questions on contingency 2016 or tranche 3.
Thank you, Senator Wasserberger. Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, as I understand, none of these projects will get underway until after we know what's available at the end of the fiscal year on July 1st of 2016. And it seems to me we're being asked to make decisions on things a year in advance of maybe when we should, that we could perfectly well handle this tranche in the budget bill next year in the biennial budget bill. So I would ask what harm would be done if we removed this tranche at this time and dealt with setting the priorities for these things at that point.
Thank you, Senator Scott. Senator Anderson, and then.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm impressed with the work the JAC has done on this. That has been a lot of work and a lot of prioritization. I'm also impressed with the lead institution for appropriations. That'd be our University of Wyoming for $86 million out of this $278. I'm impressed that they're doing a heck of a job of putting together their budgets and getting it out there. It appears to me that the junior colleges need to do a lot of work here. I see they're only in for about $700,000. One question on that number three university research aircraft, there's $250,000 in there. It's been my experience that might not even pay for an engine repair. I'm kind of confused as to what that might be on that one.
Thank you, Senator Anderson. Senator Cates first, then we'll go to Senator Wasserberger.
Actually, I had a different topic on the disaster.
Different topic. That's fine. Then let's go to Senator Wasserberger for a response, and then we'll go back to Senator Cates.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's just to design the aircraft. They're going to draw it up and get it going, and then they're going to build a brand new one. The sad thing about this was, you know, we've been using it for years, and it was a premier program at the University of Wyoming, but we never, ever at any time had a sinking fund for it so that when it became too old, they could replace it. And so now we're going to require that.
Senator Case. Oh, wait. One second, Senator Case. I think Senator Ross, I think, would like to address those questions, and my apologies, Senator Case.
Well, I just want to address the tall senator's question with regards to can we just wait. The answer to me is no. There are projects here that are moving forward, and we need to commit forward with it. I guess you could do that. I guess you could say, we'll just come back in the budget cycle next year. But what we're talking about is money that we believe will be available for this biennium. And we need to prioritize that and move forward with this biennium. Because when we come back next year for the budget, we'll be looking at 2017, 2018. But there are projects here in this third tranche that are ongoing right now, and we have made a commitment to moving a number of those forward. So I suggest that you stay with the Appropriations Committee on this one.
Senator Perkins, on the topic.
Yes, on the topic. Just to pile on, Mr. Chairman, on that one. You know, the other thing that happens when you wait is that actually what happens with a bunch of these things is we've had this morning, a lot of these things have been in the works for quite a while. And so ultimately, when we put that off, we also put off the planning and design for these things to happen. For example, Mr. Chairman, if you were to take item number 5, the community STEM and technical matching funds, for junior colleges, or the community colleges, as you go out, they need time to begin to put together to work on those matches. So you have to, in a lot of respects, you have to set these targets up so that these things are going to happen over years and over time. And so by setting these up, we start the process of how do we best implement and create the plans. An example of that would be when you look at the research, that's probably not necessarily good, but the surface transportation passing lanes, priority number two. In that, if you think about that and the construction seasons that we have, that needs to be we need to have that on the list, and so that's on the horizon and on the vision and on the work listing for the Department of Transportation as they get ready to do that. They need to be, as they get ready to move into that planning stage, as they come out and begin the construction phase of those things, by waiting, we start to put those things in jeopardy because of the short construction seasons that we have. So as we set these things up and put them into motion, by delaying, then we delay the process, we delay the planning, and then when we come around and back at the last minute, we've delayed those projects and those things in substantial fashion, and we don't have, it makes it more difficult for the process to accomplish not necessarily all of them together, but any one individually to move forward in the way, in an appropriate manner where we have adequate planning, that it's planned, that it continues to be vetted, that it continues to be reviewed, that it's be adjusted before it can be carried out.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. All right. Sorry, Senator Case. Back to you.
Mr. Chairman, I thought you forgot about me.
No, I recalled.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question is on page 133, line 13, disaster reserve account of $3 million. It talks about being an account that's available for natural disasters, wildland fires, floods, tornadoes, or similar events. Talks about it being available for responses to. We have a couple of situations in Wyoming where there's some planning money needed for disaster really prevention or heading up. For example, planning for flood control. There's money available from the Corps of Engineers on a matching basis. Would this fund be available for cities to apply to the governor's office for that kind of funding?
Thank you, Senator Case. Anyone want to address that now, or we'll go to another question? All right, Senator Perkins.
I think the short answer is no, not as it's currently constituted. That's the short answer.
Back to you, Senator Case.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I might be thinking about making this fund a little more broadly available. I'm just saying, you know, there are some situations in Wyoming, you know, right now in the flood planning area where a little bit of planning money can leverage a whole lot of engineering and other money from federal agencies. And if this money could be made available, at least a small part of it, that would be very helpful.
Careful of those matching funds, Senator. Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Questions for the JAC. On this third tranche, we're talking about, if I'm understanding, it seems like the theory's good, that we're looking ahead so that people can plan and make commitments. At the same time, if I understand it right, this isn't binding. And so how far are we really going? This isn't binding, and we're allowing people to start spending money when our priorities may change or our money inflow may change substantially. So I'm looking for, I guess, an answer from JAC. Is this pretty hard line goal, or is this just some tentative planning out there, knowing that in a year it could be a different picture?
Thank you, Senator Christensen. Response, Senator Perkins.
Thank you. I think the answer is it a hard line? I think the answer is no. I mean, ultimately, these are budgets. These authorizations and these budget bills expire at the end of the biennium if they're passed. And so ultimately, in fact, if you look at these, most of what these are, if you look, these are longer-range projects, and these are the beginning installments to start to develop money for continuing, either continuing some that are already in place or to begin to collect money for the ones that we anticipate we'll need in the future. For example, if you take item number two, this again going back to surface transportation passing lanes, in tranche one, there's some planning money for that. Now, the idea is that when you come to tranche two, that then that would be available so that we could move into construction. Another example, if you go into the University Science Initiative account, that $30 million, that's if you add the $3 million from tranche one and this 30, that's one-third of the $100 million effort to do that. So you're one-third of the way home. The Community STEM and Technical Education Matching Funds, that begins that, but by no means is $20 million spread among seven junior colleges or community colleges. Is that going to be, you know, is that probably going to be the end of that? The Safe Facilities and Casper, we've talked about. That's been on the State Building Commission, and recently in their January 2015 meeting, they have decided to move forward into Level 1 and Level 2 planning. So these things... we're going to accumulate money, but no, these are the installments, and a lot of these are the installments. So in some cases, they're the actual project. But at the end of the day, no, they're, as with all things in the legislature, notwithstanding, they're subject to change.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Mr. President.
Thank you. I want to talk about my colleague a little bit about when you hear the statements to say the effect that, geez, maybe the community colleges are not as strong a lobbyist as the UW. We ought to attend to some of these issues and talk about them. Let's first talk about forecasting and planning. We do biennial budgets because we do plan 1 year, 2 years in advance. These are large projects. All these are projects that require planning. And that's what we do as a legislature. We begin to say, what are we going to do next year, the following year, the following year? And if we have any criticism of ourselves, it is that there has been no plan. And year after year, if you look at the polling from our constituents, it's jobs, economy, and it's you know, wanting to know that when your children grow up, they can get a job in this economy. And right now, we know is to get to provide jobs in this economy. If you want to have, for example, right now, it's a great thing. If you can leave high school and you can get a job paying you $60,000 to $80,000 a year in the oil patch, where are those jobs going to be for the next generation? Are there going to be welding jobs, oil patches, or are they going to be technical jobs? I submit to you they're likely to be technical jobs. How about for the female population? Where are they going to get those $60,000 jobs out of high school? Where are they going to get them, and how are they going to make their living so they can support their families? Well, we know it's a patchwork of effort. It requires starts at K-12. It goes to the community colleges. and it goes to the university, all of which require support. Now, if you want to start comparing, though, funding that you see to the UW to community college, it's very difficult to do. One, university is a constitutional entity. Our forefathers believed that it was an important enough thing to put the university in the Constitution. But they were not given taxing authority, and they didn't have a lot of other resources. They were required to come to the legislature. When it comes to community colleges, a lot of those were built with local initiatives. They have taxing authority. They have tuition authority. They have different ways of generating the resources. And the community colleges has broad support throughout the state. In this budget alone, there's $14.7 million put into salary adjustments. And because the community colleges were able to develop, and they have developed, a method to increase their salary when their enrollment goes up. But you know what? Their enrollment's down, and we're not dinging them. But in this budget, you've got $14.5 million that came in. The university did not get a corresponding increase. Goes back to this issue of the block grant. You say, well, in your block grant, it's static. I'll bring you back some sheets next week to show the growth of the operating budgets of the community colleges versus the UW, and there's no comparison. Community colleges have outdriven the growth of UW. And we've allowed the community colleges to count part-time students, double in students, to look like their enrollments are twice what they really are. But, you know, we don't criticize that, because what we know are the community colleges are the drivers for communities, for providing those jobs of the future, training our folks, and partly they're an economic engine for the communities. They are what make your communities rich and fun to live in. In this budget already, there's $46 million worth of capital construction that went into the community college as we sit here. That work is now commencing. And in this budget that JAC puts forward to you, there's more construction anticipated in the second tranche. So when you begin to look at all the facts, there's no reason for anybody to say these folks were treated poorly or these were not treated so poorly. JAC has looked at all the different areas, and they created a vision to move forward, to keep our state moving forward, keep construction moving forward, keep ideas. And I submit to you that all of our institutions require support, but there are significant differences in how the economics of the university is supported compared to community colleges, and those differences need to be recognized.
Thank you, Mr. President. Any further discussion on Section 346? Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple of thoughts, and not to get into anything versus anything else. I'm not really interested in that, because I'm very supportive of education in general. But I would say this, and this goes back to my colleague from the eastern part of the state, bringing up this topic of what drives what. And I just want to remind the body that the president is right. A lot of these planning efforts, I live it every day, a lot of these planning efforts you've got to do that in advance. And there's nothing that we do better, in my opinion, senators, than leveraging the support that we can get back there in our communities and from our constituents. And so a lot of this money in the second and third tranche, that's a new word, by the way. I'm going to take that home and try to explain to people what that is. But the money in there that we're using to leverage funds, I hope we resist the efforts to pull that out of there. I think it's one of the best things we do. Mr. Chairman, thank you.
Thank you, Senator Landon. Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, my question goes to priority number 15. And if you go to the footnote on that, page 138, this deals with the corpus of the Wyoming Wildlife Natural Resource Trust. But part of the language in there, if you get to page 138, says that we're going to put $2.5 million into the corpus of the trust if it's available, but only if there's matching funds. And because this is a statutory trust established by the legislature, This has never happened before where we've required a match to put into a statutory trust. So just a little explanation as to why this is not a foundation account. This is a statutory account established by this body that we've funded to over $105 million, and we've never required that we put this matching requirement on this account before. So, Mr. Chairman, a little discussion.
Thank you, Senator. Go to Senator Wasserberger for response.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have to apologize to the good senator from Carbon County because I missed that and must have been late at night, and I was almost done, and I missed that part. So I would defer to the chairman of the Appropriations Committee.
Senator Ross, did you want to address that, or do you want to address it later? All right, Mr. President.
Mr. Chairman. It is true that the Wildlife Trust Fund is a statutory fund, has no source of dollars going in. It's a trust fund. And it's not true to say that we have not required matches. Of course, we have matching in the operation dollars for the programs. That's always existed. On a number of occasions, the legislature has set aside funds to go into the trust and challenged for matches. What is true is nobody's met those matches, and the money's ultimately reverted. But I can go to several other budgets, and this has been a challenge that has existed, and that is you have people that support wildly the Wildlife Trust Fund, and you have people that don't. And sometimes compromise has happened. But I do think one of the things that those folks that have concern about the Wildlife Trust Fund is that as much as everybody says they like it, nobody will step up to help match the state. And there are lots of national organizations that could be matching. Nobody seems to want to do that. But that's a policy issue. But it's not true to say that we've not required matches before. It is true to say that nobody's ever wanted to or agreed to match trust funds going into trust. Just nobody wants to do that. They'd rather put their money on the ground and say, I'll put it in for a project, but I won't put it in to build a trust.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As a member of the Trust Select Committee, I would just go back to what I was talking about before, which is in the development game, that takes a lot of boots on the ground. It takes a lot of energy and a lot of man and woman power to do that work. And that's one of the issues that you run into with this particular operation is we really only have two people doing all of that work for the Wildlife Trust. Can't salute them enough on that front, but I think that is the issue. And that might be, I'm glad to know that we've issued that challenge before, and maybe there's something that, you know, that we can do as a select committee to assist on that front. But that is a man and woman power issue as much as anything, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Landon. We are on Section 346. Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, just for some clarification, and in fact, there, and I think the President spoke to it, but there's been millions of dollars that donated to the income account that allows them to spend that money. And that's come from a variety of people, school kids, major oil corporations in the state have donated for those project accounts, but there has been quite a few donations in the tunes of millions of dollars, but not specifically to the corpus, because it was initially set up with a target of $200 million, and it wasn't specified at that point in time that it was going to be a matching fund. So just for clarification, there has been millions of dollars of match. They did go to the income account that allows them to spend those monies, and we do match those with the funds out of here. But just for clarification, this move forward, to require a match to the corpus has not happened for this account, and it may happen for other accounts in the past. But to my knowledge, and I could be wrong, but I'll go do a little research, I don't think we've ever required it for contributions to the corpus of the trust.
Thank you, Senator. Any additional discussion on Section 346? All those in favor of Senator Ross's motion to adopt Section 346 say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 346 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next section for our consideration is Section 347. Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 347, State Facilities Casper. Yield to the Vice President.
Mr. Vice President.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. President. This is fleshing out the State Facilities Office. We've talked about this in Casper already. This is a project that the State Building Commission has been looking at for some time. Again, reading from the January 7, 2015 minutes, they're to the point now that they're ready to move into level one and level two services for planning and how that's going to look. They're looking at assessing environmental considerations and constraints. And they're looking at identifying and all the other stuff that goes in, looking at soil and looking at acquiring sites and some things like that. So this is something that's been on there. This is the one that starts to push this forward as it's come to us from the State Building Commission. And ultimately, that's what I think we've talked about this to some extent. But ultimately, this goes with that. It's going to come back. And now that this is moving on into where it's moving out of kind of the conceptual phase into the planning phase, it provides for the standard things that we want to come back and report to make sure we understand what's going on in this, and obviously as this moves forward, it will be subject to further legislative oversight and approval.
Thank you, Senator. Any discussion on Section 347? All those in favor of Senator Ross's motion to adopt Section 347, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 347 has been adopted by the Committee of the Whole. The next section for our consideration is Section 348. Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 348, Land Acquisition Honor Farm, yield to Senator Burns.
Senator Burns.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, anybody who's been to the Honor Farm knows that it's a few miles outside of Riverton. The thing is, anybody who's gone by it for a number of years realize that each year it's less and less outside of Riverton. And the city of Riverton is growing and coming out that way. To the south of the Honor Farm, they own 302 acres that has been used for farming and ranching and grazing. There has been interest in them selling that land, but they have to get other land nearby to continue carrying out their mission. This $250,000 basically acts as two things. Acts as a bridge for them to go ahead and secure this other land, and just in case the additional land that they need costs more than the land they're selling, it would cover that. I don't think that's going to happen because the land I think they're going to purchase is probably going to be a little further outside of town, therefore less. And with that, I'd be glad to take any questions. And if anybody has any good questions, I'll refer back to the committee chair.
Thank you, Senator. Any discussion on Section 348? Seeing none. All those in favor of Senator Ross's motion to adopt Section 348, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 348 has been adopted by the Committee of the Whole. The next section for our consideration is Section 349. Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 349, Energy Producing States Coalition Membership, yield to Senator Hastert.
Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Section 349 just simply reauthorizes the legislature to participate in the Energy Producing States Coalition. It just reauthorizes what we started back in 2011.
Any discussion on Section 349? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Ross's motion to adopt Section 349, say aye. Opposed, no. Section 349 has been adopted. The next section for our consideration is Section 350. Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 350, Borrowing Authority, Executive Branch Programs, yield to Senator Hastert.
Senator Hastert.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Section 350 deals with Governor's Letters 10 and 11. This is the borrowing authority from the pooled investment of up to $20 million for fighting wildland fires. Thank you. In the event the reserves in the Office of State Lands and Investment and Homeland Security, in case they exhaust those, we never know what kind of season we're going to have. And that's the first part of it. And then in Section B, it's also then borrowing authority in line with the state health care system. I believe that my recollection was that there are changes in the level of reserves. There's been audits done to this account, and they're lowering the levels by half. So this is kind of a new thing for them. And I guess on our audit that we found that it was carrying too high a reserve balance. So this is just simply borrowing authority in case there's issues. Don't anticipate any, but since it's a level of dropping the reserves down, I just thought they'd have borrowing authority in case there are issues.
Thank you, Senator Hastert. Any discussion on Section 350? Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I recall last year that the pooled fund investments were down about $20 million or so. There was a loss. I was wondering whether we've caught up on those yet. And just curious whether we're back in the black.
Anyone want to respond on that one? It looks like we're going to look into it for a second. There's Mr. Vice President.
Thank you. I haven't checked that recently, but what I can tell you is if you remember what we did is 2 years ago we took about $120 million of capital gains in recognition that there would be potential for higher interest rates in the future. So those were taken 2 years ago to offset some losses that were anticipated last year. Last time I checked, we might be a little bit in the red, but it's not as bad as it was, if I remember. But I can check and bring that back. It's also available to anybody who wants to go onto the State Treasurer's website and you want to go back and look at the portfolio. That information is there probably on about a 30-day lag. So at the end of each month, when you get towards the end of the month, you'll be able to go back and look at the preceding months and see exactly what those conditions and where we're at in that area. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. On the issue of whether we are back in black, Senator Hastert.
In checking with staff, as I recall, there was no, we didn't have losses in 14, and we had slight losses in 15, and I think that's what my associate from Casper was discussing. So I think it's in pretty good shape.
Thank you, Senator Hastert. Any further discussion on Section 350? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion by Senator Ross to adopt Section 350, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 350 has been adopted by the Committee of the Whole. The next section for our consideration is Section 351. Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 351. This particular section authorizes the Game and Fish to sell their forensic laboratory and authorizes the sale of this building. This lab building, and then specifies parameters for the selling price and then the use of the funds to build a new building, and that's in Section 351 so that it be cost neutral.
Thank you, Senator Ross. Any discussion on Section 351? Seeing none. All those in favor of Senator Ross's motion to adopt Section 351, say aye. Opposed, no. Section 351 has been adopted. The next section for our consideration is Section 352. Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 352, Forestry Initiative, and yield to the Vice President.
Mr. Vice President.
Thank you. On the Forestry Initiative, I don't remember which governor's letter that was off the top of my head, but this is a respective governor's letter. If you look, there was the governor's task force on forests went out, and they've come back with to implement letter 14. Come back and do a number of initiatives totaling $705,000. What they want to do is they've got some partnerships going on with federal agencies to support increased funding to prevent, detect, and control non-native invasive plants, wildlife, and insects that threaten the health of Wyoming forests. For $85,000, they going to do that. They've got an outreach coordinator. They're looking to have a dedicated partnership and outreach coordinator position to assist in implementing additional other recommendations that are out there. They're talking about also looking to work to improve coordinated public information education campaigns to increase public understanding of wildland fire, including wildland fire prevention, the risks of wildland urban interface, and the role the fire plays in natural ecosystems. They're looking to also looking to expand and enhance on the municipal water supply watershed, municipal watershed protection plans across the state in connection with the Wyoming Water Development Commission to develop at least a couple of municipal watershed protection plans for certain municipalities in the state. Also looking to convene a summit, a biomass summit to talk about for 15,000. They've got a number of other opportunities to facilitate the creation of local collaborative working groups to address local forest management issues so trying to expand that across the state, because obviously the forests and state forests have particular interfaces with various counties and communities across our state. So this is the money necessary or that's been requested, and JC granted the governor's recommendation that we fund the findings of that task force.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Any discussion on Section 352? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Ross's motion to adopt Section 352, please say aye. Opposed, no. Section 352 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next section for our consideration is Section 353. Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 353, limitation on salary increases. This is language that's been modified. Last year we had a footnote with regards to salary increases. The governor vetoed it, and we're coming back with some modified language for the governor to try to keep in line salary increases, report back. This is just another attempt at making sure that we keep government where it should be.
Thank you, Senator Ross. Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, this is one of the things that causes our state government not to work very well. Mr. Chairman, I think we're developing a major problem from what I've seen in the way we compensate not the average state employee, but some of the key managers, division directors, that sort of people, some of the key professional staff. And I notice there's an exemption here for the Attorney General's office, and I suppose that's to be expected, but I wonder if it wouldn't be appropriate if we broadened that exemption quite a bit or gave the governor some pretty broad authority to come around this thing, because I think we have systematically held our key managers down with the result that when we get a really good one, we don't keep them very long. So I would ask a little bit as discussion as to why we need this and why we need it the way it is.
Thank you, Senator Scott. Further discussion on Section 353. Anyone want to address that? Senator Ross, would you like to...
Well, I mean, this is a policy question. You can take it in or out.
All right.
It was vetoed last year by the governor. This is a little bit softer language. Quite frankly, this germinated from my co-chairman. So you can figure that out. I go.
Thank you, Senator Ross. Yes, Mr. President.
Let's just talk about it a little bit, I guess. What was the discussion? I mean, we've set aside funds to attract and keep. We have a retention pool that we provide for those people that are leaving. And in fact, we have, for example, oftentimes you have key people, as our colleagues suggested, that have opportunities to leave. And when you go to replace them, you might have to pay them the next person higher. And you might not have as high a quality the next person. Why would we not allow that practice to take place? And I thought we do have targeted funds. And so there should always be within A&I a budget pool available for these things. And, for example, if you have 100 employees, five or six employees leave that might have had a lot of experience, and you hire younger people, then that means you've got extra revenue. And you could use that within the 100 series to move up to pay a key person to keep them longer. It seems to me that has historically been the practice. So my question is, for the folks that have been around a while, what was the evil that we were trying to prevent, and how do we isolate and target that problem as opposed to allowing, prohibiting what would be normal practice just to try to keep your employees in place?
Thank you, Mr. President. Any further discussion on Section 353? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Ross's motion to adopt Section 353, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 353 has been adopted by the Committee of the Whole. The next section for our consideration is Section 354. Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 354, Sage-Rouse Implementation Team Report. Yield to Senator Wasserberger.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Wasserberger.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is the section that everybody has been looking for. On page 146, where we had concerns about the sage-grouse population. And so on lines 1 through 12, we create the sage-grouse implementation team. And we require a report back to the Joint Appropriations and Joint Minerals and Joint Travel by November 1st, 2015 on the scientific data of sage-grouse captive breeding programs and recommendations on researching and establishing sage-grouse captive breeding. And Mr. Chairman, I stand for questions.
Thank you, Senator Wasserberger. Does anyone have any questions or discussion regarding Section 354? Seeing none, all those in favor of Senator Ross's motion to adopt Section 354, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Section 354 has been adopted by the Committee of the Whole. The next section for our Senator Ross, we're closing that section before we move
on. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move to close Section 4, which is Section 300.
Thank you, Senator Ross.
All
those in favor of Senator Ross's motion to close and approve Section 300 in its entirety, say aye.
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 Opposed, no.
No.
Section 300 has been adopted in its entirety. Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 400, which is the effective date, and urge the body's favorable consideration.
Would anyone like to discuss Section 400? All.
Let's move it till next year, Mr. Chairman.
Question on Section 400. All those in favor of Section 400, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Section 400 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move and renew my motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises, report it, do so. The due pass recommendation on Senate File 1.
All those in favor? Actually, I guess you should call for... No, I don't need to call for discussion. I think we're done here. All those in favor of Senator Ross's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a due pass recommendation on Senate File 1, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senate File 1 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Mr. Vice President.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman must have done a good job. There's a smattering of applause for you. Mr. Chairman, I move that the Committee of the Whole rise and report.
You have heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carried.
Good job. Take your stuff with you.
Take some of it. This needs to get cleaned up.
Oh, this is their bill? Or is this your bill?
Their copy of Bill 1. No, it's just one copy. I blame you.
think that's it. I think you can put it down now here. No.
What is that?
Do this. Put that one back.
All right. You couldn't bring your own bill up. That'd have been novel. It was here. You're right. Now I have to go through and check every page.
Check all the pages.
Will the reading clerk please read the committee the whole report?
Mr. President, with respect to Budget Bill Senate File 1, the committee of the whole took action as follows. Under Section 4, the following sections 300s were adopted. Section 300, 303, 308, 317, 320, 328, 329, 330, 331, 340, 341, 342, 343, 344, 345, 346, 347, 348, 349, 350, 351, 352, 353, and 354 were all adopted. Section 4, the close, was also adopted. Then Section 400, well, that was Section 400 close adopted. Then the Section 400 was adopted, and Senate File 1 do pass Committee of the Whole.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. President, I move the adoption of the entire committee of the whole report on Budget Bill, Senate File 1.
You've all heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That motion has been adopted. Do we have any reports to read in?
Read, don't we?
You may. Senator Meyer.
Mr. President, I want to personally thank, and I would hope everybody else would join me in thanking the hard work that the Appropriations Committee did putting this budget together. I know when I was in appropriations, we probably had more money than the state had ever seen in a long, long time. And these guys stepped into a real hard situation where we probably have less money than we've seen in a hard, long, long time. And I want to thank them for their hard work and their diligence in trying to put something together for the floor to look at. So would the Senate please rise and help me thank them.
The thanks are well deserved. We appreciate all your work, and we know that a lot of that work took place during the session while the rest of us were engaged in other mischief. Let's see. I think that, do we have some messages? We have lots to do. Oh, we're going to be here for a couple more hours yet. Messages from the House.
February the 12th, 2015, from the House of Representatives, message number 296, conferees appointed, Joint Conference Committee number 1. Mr. President, the House appointed House conferees to meet with alike Committee number 1 from the Senate on amendments to House Bill 16. The House conferees are Representative Miller, Chairman, Representatives Geer and Croker, Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
We have the appointment of the conference committee for House Bill 16, Offenses Against Public Administration. It was Kirk Currents requested for message number 222. The Senate Conference Committee is Perkins, Chairman, Kinski, and Christensen. Next item is, do we have any concurrences? Do we just read this, or is this? So, Senator Christensen.
Are you already on message number 292?
Yes, Mr. President. 292. It's for Senate file 13.
February the 12th, 2015, from the House of Representatives. Message number 292, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate file 13, method of execution 1. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 32, noes 28. House respectfully asks Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendment. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move message number 292 on Senate File 13, Method of Execution 1, and I ask the body to vote aye. This was a little touch-up language that was a great improvement on the bill after administering anesthesia is really the essence of it. And ask for your aye vote.
Senator Meyer.
Just a question. I'm just wondering if we're going to get into the same problem that we had before with the whatever we're using for anesthesia not being labeled for this particular purpose and then going right around the merry-go-round again. And that's just a question that when I saw that, I thought, well, maybe we're stepping back on the ride.
Senator Burns, I've been waiting for you to get up.
Mr. President, that is not a concern because the anesthesia itself is actually manufactured in the United States. It's the agent the chemical that actually stops the heart is the drug that's imported from the European Union. European Union banned the importation into the United States of that drug for uses in execution. I and others have a concern that you've got basically a foreign body trying to affect domestic policy in the United States. This thing sounds like a silly concept at first, but when you think about it, from the position of the person being executed, it's no different. You knock them out and then you execute them. The method by which you're executing is what differs, but he's not there to know the difference.
The motion is that the Senate do concur with Senate file number, with message number 292 on Senate file 13, and you've been asked to vote aye. The Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
Anderson, District 2. Excused. Anderson, 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Excused.
Bebout.
Excused.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
No.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Excused.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstader.
No.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Escobel.
No.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
No.
Hicks.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Kinski.
No.
Landon.
No.
Meyer.
Aye.
Pappas. Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott?
No.
Von Platern?
Aye.
Wasserberger?
No.
President Nicholas?
No.
Closing vote?
No.
Cooper? Aye to no. Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 14 aye, 12 no, 4 excused.
I'm thinking. So we don't have, we have a plurality, but we don't have a majority of those elected to the Senate. But it's a concurrence. By your vote, the concurrence has failed to pass the Senate. A lot of plotting and conniving going on. We have Senator Scott.
Mr. President, just procedurally, if somebody feels that's an inappropriate result because there are so many members gone, the proper motion at any future time is to have the Senate recede from its non-concurrence. And we don't have to do that. This time could be done. I've seen it done several days into the process when a conference committee or something did not reach a conclusion. So I know there's considerable discussion as to what to do next, and I would think that would be the proper way to proceed on Tuesday or Wednesday or whenever.
Well, and frankly, in retrospect, we should have just waited to do the concurrence next week. It would have been a lot easier. So it is where we're at, and then we can recede from there. Senator Perkins, go ahead.
Are you ready for a motion?
Go ahead.
Mr. President, I move that we stand and adjourn until Monday.
Time out, not that motion. I thought you were talking about something.
Oh, okay. I'm ready for that motion.
I thought you had something creative. I was just waiting for this creative idea. No, we have some work to do. So we have messages from standing committees and enrolled acts. Standing committee reports.
February the 12th. Mr. President, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred House Bill 51 in gross, excise tax well site, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Case, Driscoll, Kinsey, Landon, and Peterson, Senator Peterson, Chairman. February the 12th, 2015. Mr. President, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred House Bill 82, Brewery and Microbrewery Licenses Definition. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Driscoll, Kinsey, Landon, and Peterson, Senator Peterson, Chairman. February the 12th, 2015, Mr. President, Committee Number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred House Bill 52 in gross, Sales Tax Exclusion Related Business Entities. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Driscoll, Kinsey, Landon, and Peterson. Senator Peterson, Chairman.
We're at that order of business of signing of enrolled acts. Enrolled Act Number 1, House Bill 8.
Enrolled Act, House Enrolled Act number 1 being original House Bill number 8, an act relating to environmental quality.
Enrolled Act number 1, House Enrolled Act number 1 being original House Bill number 8. I jumped the wrong line. I'm about to sign House Bill Enrolled Act number 1, which was original House Bill number 8. I've so signed. House Bill 10, Enrolled Act number 2.
House Enrolled Act number 2 being original House Bill number 10, an act relating to post-secondary education.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 2 being original House Bill number 10. I have so signed. Enrolled Act number 3, original House Bill 71.
House Enrolled Act number 3 being original House Bill 71, an act relating to the Wyoming Investment in Nursing Program.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act number 3. Being original House Bill 71. I have so signed. Senate Enrolled Act number 2 being original Senate File 22.
Senate Enrolled Act number 2 being original Senate File 22, an act relating to prioritization of municipal solid waste facilities remediation project.
I'm about ready to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 2 being original Senate File 22. I've so signed. Senate Enrolled Act number 3.
Senate Enrolled Act number 3 being original Senate File 49, an act relating to initiatives and referendums.
I'm about to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 3 being original Senate File 49. I have so signed. Enrolled Act number 4, Senate.
Senate Enrolled Act number 4 being original Senate File 26, an act relating to economic development.
I'm about ready to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 4 being original Senate File number 26. I have so signed. Senate Enrolled Act number 5.
Senate Enrolled Act number 5 being original House Senate File, being original Senate File 53, an act relating to elections.
I'm about ready to sign Senate Enrolled Act number 5, being original Senate File number 53. I have so signed. Senate Enrolled Act Number 6.
Senate Enrolled Act Number 6 being original Senate File 32, an act relating to small employer health insurance availability.
I'm about ready to sign Senate Enrolled Act Number 6 being original Senate File Number 32. I've so signed. Now, Mr. Vice President, that does clear the desk. Were there any announcements? Okay, go ahead. No, we're looking for that motion. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Mr. President, I move that we stand adjourned until 10 a.m. on Tuesday, February the 17th, 4 days from 4 days hence.
Are there announcements? Senator Geis.
Of Agriculture, Public Land, and Water Resources will meet in about 5 minutes to handle House Bill 56 in Gross Wyoming Food Freedom Act.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 3, Revenue, will meet Tuesday, 30 minutes after noon recess, in room S16 to discuss House Bill 113 in Gross Cigarette Certification, House Bill 111, engrossed resort liquor licenses, and House Bill 112 engrossed capital construction grant eligibility.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your Appropriations Committee will meet upon the noon recess on Tuesday, February 17th, in S11 to consider the following re-referrals. House Bill 15, Restoration of Voting Rights by Department of Corrections. House Bill 27, NRC Agreement State Authorization. House Bill 53, Minerals to Value-Added Products Program. House Bill 54, Corrective Action Account Distribution. And House Bill 55, Solid Waste Program Amendments.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a reminder about the previously announced notice. That meeting on Tuesday morning will be at 7 a.m.
7 a.m. Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your travel committee number 6 will meet at 8 a.m. Next Tuesday up in room S14 to consider the following bills. House Bill 149, engrossed special non-resident hunting license draw. House Bill 154, complementary hunting licenses, persons with disabilities. House Bill 155, engrossed hunters who use wheelchairs, donated licenses.
Chairman Wasserberger, is with trepidation that I call upon you. I don't expect there to be a hearing.
Mr. President, your committee, number 11, the Journal Committee, will meet in Hershey, Nebraska on Saturday, February 12th at 10 a.m. in an outhouse to discuss House Bill 209, the transfer of Nebraska state lands to Wyoming so we can have a better football team.
Are there any further notices and messages? Senator Hastert.
Mr. President, the Minority Caucus, which is just to simply say that we wish everyone safe travels this weekend.
Thank you, and the same as with you. Everybody have a good weekend. You've all heard the message, the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The Senate's adjourned till 10 a.m. Tuesday, February 7th. And 17th. And Scott, it was great to have you these past 2 weeks. We'll miss you. Have a good time going home.